bird.
It's a plane.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Listen up, casuals.
Cowabunga! You got a plan.
I'm afraid my protocols are being overridden.
Game over, man.
Hey, Rocco.
Yeah.
Hey, man. It's been since like last July since we dropped an episode for Listen Up Casuals.
Last July, like summer. Like 2022?
Yeah, like summertime. So we had life, and life happens.
Yes.
And we were actually just talking about that in regards of Mr. Ted Lasso, which you've convinced me to watch.
I'm telling you, man, it's, and if you're listening right now, the show is the cure for depression, and not because it's just always funny, just because it's so beautiful. It's just a beautiful show. It makes you feel a range of emotions that are healthy.
We also hope you listeners out there feel the same way about Listen Up Casuals, but
I agree.
We know
I
you hope don't.
So.
We don't want you feel, yeah. We don't want you to feel dirty or unfulfilled at the end of this. Just let us help you out. So in all reality, we are back. It is March of 2023.
Yeah.
It's a new year. We have a lot of cool topics to talk about this season. A lot of things have happened in movies and TV and more. So this season, we're going a little bit more casual, mm-hmm. and we'll see some differences in the show structure. Don't want to throw a lot of info at you. I thought maybe it was time to get a little more casual since that's what our show is about.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, we're not going to lose the comic book aspect of this, as that's part of the show, but maybe we were getting a little too deep into the comics, if you know what I mean. Although I feel no one can get too deep into comics, but that's not why we're here.
That's right. We're not a wiki podcast.
Exactly. So let's just have some fun with it. Let's just have some, that's what I'm here to do. Just let's just have a good time.
Excellent. So if you do follow us on the socials, you see that Rocco and I share our polls every week.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you, what are you reading?
Oh goodness. What am I not reading? I see, it feels like my poll gets bigger and bigger and my wallet gets smaller and smaller every month. But there's just so many good titles out right now. I'd have to say I just started this series called Damn Them All. And it's like, I'm pretty sure it's Boom. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like Constantine, but the character the lead is a woman, and it's very different, but also like similar. And I'm really, really, really digging it. So Damn Them All.
That's cool, man. Getting in some indies.
I'm trying to broaden my horizons.
Yeah. Very cool. What else? What about from the big two? What is your top book from that?
I'd have to say on the DC side would be Jeff Lemire's Green Hell.
Oh, I started reading that last night, but I'll tell you why not.
Number three drops next week.
Okay. Two just dropped last month, right?
Yes, because of the massive delay between one and two. Like we're talking almost a year, or not more than a year, actually.
Yeah.
Of a delay, which is wild, but it's a supersized, you know, black label, DC comic. And it's just great. It's really great. Why didn't you start it yet?
I've gotten this Tom King kick as of late. A lot of the comics I buy, you know, I buy as variants and number ones and other things that I don't really read the comics I buy for the most part. I subscribe to the DC app, right? So I do that. And then any Marvel comics, I'll try to track down and whatnot, but I don't read a lot of Marvel at the time. Besides Ghost Rider, which I'm behind on, and Punisher, which, you know, we're going to talk about in this show, I'm behind on as well. And I've been meaning to read Daredevil, which you've been raving about, from Chip Zdarsky, who's about to wrap up his run this fall, I think.
Yes. And it is, I would say out of Marvel, it's one of my favorites. That Fantastic Four is really good right now.
Yeah, I gotta start that. Really, I actually good. Have been buying that, which I need to just read it. I need to.
And
the
Alex
down.
Ross, he's doing every cover, and they're they're gorgeous. One after the other, are gorgeous. But what was I? Moon Knight. I can't tell you more about Moon Knight and how absolutely fantastic this run has been, to the point where I blame this run as to why I didn't like the show so much.
I, you know, it's funny. I don't blame you either way, even though I enjoyed it the second time around more because I released those expectations after not liking it the first time. But yeah, everything you've told me about this new run with, what is it? The Midnight Mass?
Midnight Mission.
Midnight Mass is a Netflix movie that I need to watch.
That it's a show and you should definitely watch it. It's fantastic. But no, the Midnight Mission, he opens up a mission in New York City, and his mission is to guarantee that people travel safe at night, and there are a lot of monsters in New York City. And you know, he just, I love, there's a cell where they're like, you're a superhero, you're not gonna kill us. And he goes, do I look like effing Spider-Man? Like, and then kills them. There's a whole other scene where he ties up a bunch of vampires on the roof of a building, and based on the time is when the sun. So he's like, I'm going to ask y'all for information, and you just know by the time that you're all just going to die one by one. And then the first one just fries, and he's like, all right, cool. And then the second one just talked. He gave him all the info he wanted. So again, seeing that and then getting the show.
Yeah, I mean, that's my hang up with the MCU a lot. As much as I love it, they're not going to go beyond general audience, you know, for the most part. And that's why I'm really looking forward to this discussion today about the Punisher.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I'm on a Tom King kick.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Danger Street is the current comic I'm reading. And so I just read the app is a month behind. Mm-hmm. So if you pay for that premium subscription, which is worth it, you don't have to wait the 6 months that you usually had to wait. Now it's a month behind. So it's awesome in that regard. So I've just been reading a lot more comics and trying to stay up on current stuff, but Danger Street is just a really neat Kirby-esque story. And that's what I really like about Tom King. As much as he delves into his Batman story, which was great, his whole run there and some other things, he is very much like a modern Jack Kirby to me, the way he writes and the way he tells stories. Like his Mr. Miracle is one is phenomenal. It's a great run. And that's why I really feel about Danger Street as well. It's just obscure characters that he brings into the forefront and tells this neat story that, it's just, it does something different than, you know, the regular run comics. Also, I was reading Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow. I had bought all of that, but I don't read my comics, you know, physically. Mm-hmm. So I waited on it. And now it's been picked up as, you know, the new DCU as a movie. Yep. So I was like, I should really read this. And when it's really funny, our friend Casey Bowker, I got him to start reading it as well. And he was like, this is True Grit. I'm like, yeah, you're right. This is basically True Grit. It's really an interesting thing. Cause when I started reading the comic, I didn't think of that until he said it, but I was like, this is a really neat idea for a movie.
Yeah.
Like this is not your typical run of the mill origin. We don't need another Supergirl movie. We have, if you want to watch that, you can watch the 80s one if you want, or watch the TV show and things like that and read the comics. But this is the way to actually try to do comic movies differently. If you actually take a great script, an idea, everything's based on another idea in a way, you know, but it works. It's a really, really neat story. And like Tom King is up there with like probably one of the best comic book writers I've ever come across. So
absolutely.
And then last night I was just like, all right, I want to read The Human Target because I've been meaning to. And that came out, you know, maybe a couple years ago now. And it's you remember the TV show that was on for about a season, maybe on Fox, maybe, but They did a TV show of this, and it's a DC property. And Christopher Chance is this dude who disguises himself as other people in order to find out, because he gets hired by that person to find out who's trying to kill them or do whatever to them. And so this comic starts off with him impersonating Lex Luthor, and and then it ties in one of my favorite Justice League teams, which is Justice League International, like Blue Beetle and Booster Gold and Guy Gardner and Fire Ice. And I think it was like, I forgot even what years that was, but it's a little bit older school, maybe 80s. Yeah. And it's I think it's during that time period. So it's a really neat throwback, but it also ties in like noir detective storytelling and the way it's paced and things like that. I'm serious. I read like 6 issues last night because I couldn't put it down. I was like, I have to go to bed.
Oh, wow.
I have to go to sleep. But I want to, because it's like, I want to find out who done it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing.
That I have to mention though. And you know, it's been a while since we've done one of these episodes. So it's just like so many things that I've read. I don't want to talk about it here. I do think we should dedicate an episode to it though. But is the GCPD, The Blue Wall.
I wanted to read that.
That
I did so bad. Is it good? Is that good?
It's I think it's not really just that it's good. I think it's important. I think that kids should be reading it in school.
Did Ridley write that, John Ridley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
It's it's a damning expose of police and policing. And what I love is it's really told from every angle, but it doesn't make the angles right.
Do you remember it was kind of like a controversy? They're like, oh, we've announced a GCPD show for the Batman universe. It was going to be on HBO Max. People are like, oh, a cop show. It's not a good timing. Then it went away.
Yeah.
Now it's back. They're actually going to do it again. So I'm actually really excited to see if they do the same kind of thing there, where they address real things instead of like saying, yeah, cops are heroes, like a lot of shows do. And I have no problem with police unless you're a bad cop. Like, we need police, and police should be respected, but there are also bad apples out there. But we can't hide it either. Like, this narrative has to exist, especially when like minorities affected and more. So it's a very scary idea out there, but we have to educate people on it. And that's, once that's in like graphic novel form, I'm gonna give the description to our librarian. Get that in the library.
Yeah, it really needs to be, and it's very it has trigger warnings before you actually read.
Oh, really?
It, like, right inside. Oh yeah,
that's great.
Which when you read that, I'm like, okay, what am I about to read? And it's not even like a black label. It's just it's really good, and we should dedicate another episode to it. Okay. I think
I'm down. I would love to do arcs as well in this show. I think that would be a good idea instead of just characters.
You know? I agree. Well, we have six issues, and the final one comes out in just a couple weeks.
Then I'll start reading it on the app. Cause I keep looking at it, waiting for it to finish. So I can just be like, if I want to finish it, I can finish it.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, one last thing. I got you to read the end of Dark Crisis, and that ended. Which is funny because it's like, I don't even remember when we did that Infinite Frontier episode or the Future State episode.
Yeah.
On Talley Talk. That was before Listen Up Casuals, I think. Yep. And so we've been building all these different storylines since then, building up to all of this. Mm-hmm. And I think they've, you know, back then I was like, will they keep it up? What will happen? And now we're at kind of a new relaunch point. Mm-hmm. Which this fall is like the dawn of the DCU.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a really good lead in. I really actually enjoyed Dark Crisis. It was a really good sequel to Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Okay.
And just opening up the multiverse again. So really, really cool stuff. And I do love all of these titles that are being birthed out of it, basically rebirthed.
Rebirthed.
If I may, or New 52 or whatever you want to call them. But to be more character driven, they say less crossovers, and just, you know, I'm really excited for that because I think that it is time to kind of get back to basics and tell good character stories without relying on big events.
Yeah. I mean, how many events like are we going to have now? It seems like everything is an event. Everything.
Right.
it's okay to have events. It but is. Let's like let's do them once a year. Once a year.
Yep. I mean, it's crazy because I think it was events that got me back into comics. Mm-hmm. It was like 2006, 2005, 2006, 2000, maybe before that a little bit, but whatever Avengers Disassembled was, mm-hmm. I came in right after that. It was like House of M and Civil War. And we just talked about Secret Invasion. Oh, there's another one out now. And all of that just went full bore with Brian Michael Bendis, like just dropping event. And that, I think that's really when it amped up. And then everybody just kind of followed suit. And then you kind of just, it's too much. And I think that, you know, it's important to go back to the individual storytelling. And the way they're releasing it too with DC is good too. It's not like boom, it's like a few titles a month. Mm-hmm. And they're all, I'm actually interested in most of them.
Awesome. So,
that's why I love that app. That app is great.
You know me, I'm Bat Family kind of guy. So yeah. I'm going to be anything Nightwing, anything Batman, Gotham City, Detective Comics, Harley Quinn. Like I'm going to read all of it. If it takes place in Gotham, I want it.
It's coming to you.
Yeah.
Not much will change in your side of the world because it works so well. That's the best part about it.
It's true. And it's even an event, the Joker War, that got me back. That got me back into reading comics was Joker War, a big ass event on DC. That was a massive event, but it was great. I still remember the ending. Like that's how good it was. I can still tell you how it all ends.
Good. That's what I like to hear. That's what we love to hear. You're back into comics and we're doing the show.
That's right. And tonight is the Punisher, baby.
It is. What an interesting pick for the first episode to come back to. But we're going to jump into some news. Yes. And at the end of the news segment, we'll launch into the show because that's probably the biggest tidbit of news that we've had in a while. I'm really excited for.
Right on. Well, let's do it.
Or maybe apprehensive. No. Yes, well, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump into some news. The DCU, this is another thing that, you know, happened when we were on hiatus. James Gunn and Peter Safran have taken over the DCU and they're launching this Chapter One Gods and Monsters, which is very exciting to see a new direction from the DCEU for various reasons. But there was this whole idea of James Gunn was not going to direct the Superman Legacy movie, which now he is.
Yeah.
Which they've been pushing him to. Peter Safran was like, just why won't you do it? I think it is the right move for him. I think that if he can pull this off, he'll just put a lot of naysayers, you know, back into the shadows where they belong.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that this is gonna be a really important film of his career, if not the most important film. Because
I agree. That's a good point.
Superman isn't just like, I don't even read Superman, but I understand that Superman is a symbol. He is one of the most beloved, one of the most recognizable worldwide characters. I mean, there are people that know nothing about comic books that could tell you what his strengths and weaknesses are. Like I could ask my wife right now. My wife has no idea, but I could be like, what is his weakness? She'll be like, kryptonite. She won't even know what that is, but she will know that. So that is how well known this character is. So this is going to be huge. And if he pulls it off, that's going to be legendary, in my opinion. And I loved what he did with Guardians, and that is why I trust him.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because it almost seems like Superman would be the absolute opposite of what he does. Remember how he produced that Brightburn movie? Remember the evil Superman movie? So he was involved in that, which is another kind of little interesting thing there. That will he be able to pull off the right tone for Superman? And I think he's been working on the story for a little while now, so I'm open for it. You know, I've been a Superman fan my entire life. You know, it's like I relate to him a lot because I'm adopted, and he was one of the first heroes like introduced to me. So it was kind of like I could relate to this guy, even though he's a god, you know, he's an alien, but they make him so human. And I hope that's what we can get and the right interpretation, because as much as I can say I liked Man of Steel, it's not right. It's one of the only DCEU movies I actually enjoy.
Yeah. It was a good movie,
you know, that Zack Snyder did. So I just want to see something that is hopeful and a good launch for this DCU.
I agree. And I want to see something that pulls me into Superman. Like Henry Cavill, he pulled me into Superman. Mm-hmm. I really believed he was Superman. And I really liked that Man of Steel movie. And I mean, Christopher Reeves, you know, he broke my heart when he can be Superman anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And so since then, you know, we had, what was that? Brandon Routh.
Yeah. The Superman
Returns.
I guess like an homage to the Reeves era, you know? I like that movie enough.
Yeah.
It's not great, but it relies so heavily on like those movies and what Richard Donner did and more.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I do love what they did with Ben Ralph though in the Arrowverse when they did the Infinite Crisis crossover and they made him the Kingdom Come Superman. That was an awesome thing to do. So, but this isn't a Superman show. We'll get to that someday.
Yes.
But let's talk a little bit about the Batman world. Because we are getting Clancy Brown on the Penguin show as Salvatore Moroni. What a great casting.
Wow. I wouldn't have put that there, but
me neither.
Huh.
Pleasant surprise, I thought.
Yeah.
When this was announced the other day. I just, you know, he's been in DC for a long time. He did Lex Luthor's voice, you know, on Superman Animated and the Justice League show. And I'm sure more, a lot more.
He's the dude. He was in Star Wars. He was in, Mandalorian. I never remember how to pronounce that.
DeLorean.
Something like that. And he's Mr. Krabs.
The Kurgan. From Highlander.
Jesus. Yeah, but no, he's also Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob.
He's the voice of Mr. Krabs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh god.
You didn't know
well,
that?
Well, I never really watched SpongeBob.
It's
out of my zeitgeist.
So for me, like Mr. Krabs is gonna be Salvatore Moroni, so that's why I'm like, okay.
You know? You can believe it.
We'll see.
Well, good. He's a badass. So
he is.
Another good news from the Batman world is the Batman the Caped Crusader animated series that was announced a while ago from Matt Reeves and J.J. Abrams and more. It was going to be, you know, kind of a more towards the classic animated series, a little more adult, I think, noir-like. Mm-hmm. And then it just got canceled or pushed to the side, mm-hmm. I guess, when the whole DCU Gunn and Saffron thing happened. So originally it was canceled and it was very sad. And now it's back because Amazon picked it up. And Amazon, they didn't really officially announce this, but it came out a little while ago that they're looking to make some animation deals with Amazon. And I said to myself, this is how you compete with Disney, because Disney has all this money to just throw into their franchises. Mm-hmm. Like Marvel, how do you compete? How do you get that kind of backing? Mm-hmm. WB is always being sold to another company anyway, so they're always being acquired. Like Discovery's not as big as Disney.
No.
So get Amazon involved. I mean, they can just like throw Lord of the Rings shit out. Like it's like shredded wheat, you know?
Oh yeah. Amazon has the money, and if they do, they can do some really awesome animated stuff. And yeah, a revival of Batman the Animated Series, like you take my money, just take my money. I'm gonna watch it. It's going to happen.
Exactly. Last thing in DC today. I didn't want to really do dated stuff, but this is still going to be coming out within a month or so. Mm-hmm. And it's still news, but the Flash McFarlane toys dropped today as we're, you know, the day we're recording this. And it was kind of crazy because I didn't really know that Batwing was going to actually be a real thing. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, this $250 Batwing is on McFarlaneToys.com. I thought it was a joke, honestly, at first. And then I was like, holy shit, it's real. Why can they just drop this? And then Hasbro has to try to crowdfund Robbie Ray's ghost car and fails. It's just like, aren't you a bigger company? It's crazy what McFarlane's doing. Tell me a little bit about your morning.
Oh God.
Try to get that figure.
Oh God. Yeah. So I go to the comic shop, first of all, and I pick up my comics, and then I get in the car and I'm like, oh shit. Like I remembered that they were dropping and I wanted to see if Keaton's Batman was in there. So I looked it up and I went to McFarlane, and then they always have the links for the other places, and the Amazon link is always there. So I click on the Amazon link and it's just like sold out. I'm like, fuck me. So the first thing I did was text you. That happened. And then I was like, well, I missed out on the fucking Keaton figure, all pissed off. And I just drove home angry.
Don't drive angry.
I shouldn't. And I was just mad. And then you said you picked one up for me, which was just awesome. Everything's been wild lately. So just that meant a lot to me. Thank you.
You got it.
And then as I was looking for the unmasked figure, you're like, where is that? Like, and I went to look for it. I flipped through and it was like, it's now available. And I was like, oh, fuck. So I was like, all right, I'm going to buy this, I guess.
Did you get on Target?
No, Amazon. Yeah.
The unmasked one was only on Target, I think.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So I figured that out after, because I couldn't find it in Amazon.
Okay.
But that's when I saw the other one. And I was like, oh, it is available. And then I bought it. And then I realized, oh, that's a Target exclusive. That's why it's not on Amazon.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And you had a problem with that figure? You didn't like that one?
I have a problem with a lot of those figures, man.
Okay.
I think it's such weird changes in quality for their figures. Some are like so good, and then they come out with like a mixed wave like this. Like, I don't care enough about the, yes, that's like the Dark Knight. He's throwing his Christian Bale Batman in my face because I don't have it yet. But and Christian Bale's Batman is kicking me in the jaw.
But I'm saying it's, yes, to your point on quality, this is a beautiful figure, but there are others.
Like that Bat-a-Fleck one today. Like, what is that? Like, the face is so, you just put out a Justice League one that looks 100 times better than this one. And this is what you're putting in. And it's not even blue and gray, like in the goddamn trailer. Like, give me that blue and gray Batman suit, please. This is all I've asked for. It's my favorite. So
it's a classic. It's an absolute classic.
It is. Also, the car of the figure is extremely disappointing. He hasn't done enough female figures to begin with. And then this last wave of Titans figures features two great female figures. And then I'm like so excited for the Supergirl figure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I have to see it in person, you know, to actually see it. But I'm not buying anything that features Ezra Miller's likeness, because, you know, that guy is a whack job. Whatever. I'm just done with the whole idea. Please replace him with Wally West in the DCU. And I'm sure that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's time. But the Keaton, to move on.
It is. It's just bad decisions. Rewarding bad decisions, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the Keaton figure looks great. And I also picked up the Batmobile too, because that's a great price.
Hell yeah. Yeah, dude, for sure. I was taken aback that the Keaton figure, the Batman figures all have fabric capes rather than the typical plastic cape that's posed.
Isn't that weird? I do see some soft goods going out more. I think it began with the year 2 Batman that I have, where he comes with that soft cape. But then the crazy, like, McFarlane drawing with the elongated cape that they try to replicate is there. So it's like, it's really neat. And I was like, oh yeah, they should do soft goods if they can. And then this is the perfect example, especially if it's wired. So
yeah, if it's wired, that'd be fantastic.
Hell yeah. So let's jump over a little Marvel news as we're getting in closer to the Punisher.
Yes, yes. So
the Captain America 4 movie, New World Order, dropped its synopsis, and it's a race for a new, I guess, what do they call it?
Resource element, metal?
Resource, right? Something. But it's adamantium. So this is the idea that they were going to tie in the Celestials and mutants and more. So I think it's a smart idea because I may be like one of the only people that liked Eternals. And what more?
No, I liked it too.
Right. I don't know the problem with it. Just too big for some people, maybe. I don't know. But adamantium. We know mutants are here. Mm-hmm. We know more are coming, and the X-Men are coming. So, what do you see here? Do we hear about Project X and things like that? How much are we going to see? Go ahead.
I feel that this movie may end with what, like Project X, Weapon X. Like, because, you know, you got the adamantium and that's going to obviously give us Wolverine. Like, that's very obvious. They're not just going to like be like, oh, adamantium, no Wolverine. Like, not that we're going to see Wolverine in this movie. We might, but I doubt it. But it would be, he's going to be coming very soon after, is my point. And I think that this is going to start. So the thing about Sam as Captain America is that he comes with a lot of political baggage. And we know that that's a fact. He's a person of color who's also carrying the stars and stripes. And there's always that conversation in his comics, which I've always loved about his comics. I've always loved that deepness to it, that richness to it. And I think that that can be adapted on screen with now mutants being a thing. Now mutants, you know, is the MCU going to go all the way to Krakoa? I don't know. But could this start? Could this be the beginning? And then 10 movies later, we're in. How do you say? Is it Krakoa? Krakoa? Krakoa?
I'm going with what you're saying. I know exactly what you're talking about, so I'll take it. I don't know how it's pronounced.
But yeah, and I've dabbled in X-Men comics. I've dabbled in Krakoa. I've learned a little bit about their politics.
Like the recent ones? Oh, yeah, you did like the gala and stuff, right?
Yes, I did the Hellfire Gala, and then I did the new X-Men 97 run. That was like a 5-issue run, and it was all on Krakoa. But anyway, like, are we going there? Is that where we're?
Honestly, I don't know how they want to do it. I would say that would be one interesting way to do it, that they've hidden the island from everybody for so many years that mutants were driven into, you know, exile back in the 60s, because we talk about this old Fantastic Four team from the 60s. We talk about Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne from the 60s. So all this stuff happened back in the day. So why can't you retroactively do this? Like, you couldn't make Professor X forget about everybody, and they left and they went to Krakoa, and they've been out there having their own world for whatever amount of time. But that's a little far-fetched, because in this amount of time, like, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens in those comics where the bad mutants are just like, yeah, I'm just gonna do this.
Yeah, I guess I just see this as like possibly the beginning. This might be the beginning of the X-Men saga. Captain America 4 may be the beginning of the X-Men saga, only because there are political ramifications, and if that story isn't told, then it's not going to be as rich as it needs to be, if that makes any sense.
It makes all the sense, honestly.
Then I'll take it.
All right. So let's jump into the next bit of news, which will close it out. But this is the big news. Jon Bernthal is back as Frank Castle in Daredevil Reborn. Born again. Thank you. Or reborn, born again, again.
I have a problem with the title. I do, and I mean,
wasn't that the title of the third season?
Well, right. That's the thing. Is like, so to me, Born Again is the best Daredevil, and you know this. We've talked about this before. It's my favorite Daredevil comic. It's my favorite story is Born Again. It's just gritty. It's hard. It's and so many elements of that were taken for season 3. So now you're going to have this Disney show and you're going to call it Born Again. And I have a feeling they're not even going to touch that book.
Yeah, especially with news that Foggy and Karen are not returning.
Yeah.
Whether it means the actors are not returning, which, I mean, we have a recasting of Vanessa Fisk, which is an interesting element to this.
I don't get that.
So, right. That's the thing is like, so because Kingpin is such a big character through this, that they're going to have some of these characters come back. Like, I guess the biggest question is, does this tie back to a TV show at all? Right.
Exactly. That's what I wonder. Or are they just going to ignore it? They're just going to they're just going to push through, you know? And I think I have high hopes for the show, as I think a lot of other people do. Mm-hmm. And I think either Disney's going to be really, I don't know, but this thing, I don't feel like Disney is going to be that stupid, because Disney knows how successful Daredevil on Netflix was. That was the most successful Marvel show on Netflix. People loved that show. I was obsessed with that mm-hmm. show, obsessed. So like, and I'm not the only one. There were so many people.
Oh, me too.
Yeah,
me too.
Exactly.
So I guess, you know, the thing about it is this. It went to the mature side of comics. It went to the mature side of storytelling, which today's episode is all about that kind of character. So my question about this is like, it's 18 episodes long. Mm-hmm. How long are these episodes? Are they half an hour? You know, what is it? What kind of show is this? Is this like a Brave and the Bold type show where he just teams up with somebody every week, or there's mini arcs and shit like that? So I guess we just got to wait and see, because I don't want to get down on it either, because I'm very excited for it. And if they do some, I mean, also, I guess Matt Murdock and Kingpin are going to be featured in Echo Show more heavily than mm-hmm. originally anticipated. So do they just start opening up a whole side of storytelling and of Marvel Knights over there? They do some mature stuff, because I mean, Deadpool 3 is rated R now. So
yep. Yeah. And also too, like, one thing I liked about season 3 on Netflix of Daredevil was there was a focus on his crisis of faith, his coming to terms with his fate. And there's a lot of that in the comics where, you know, he, as much as he is a devout Irish Catholic, he does have his quote unquote bouts with God and his relationship with God. And yeah. I think that was touched a lot in season 3. And for me, that's very personal. So like, I always like really dug that. So my thing is Disney ballsy enough to bring that into a Disney Plus show, you know, because that's a whole other dimension that was touched, but not really, you know, there's a reason he's Daredevil. It's the whole story is highly steeped in Catholicism.
Right. Or we just get Stiltman.
That's right. Yeah.
So
anyway,
let's jump to commercial.
Yes.
And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about The Punisher.
I love it.
All right.
DFAT Comics is the publishing branch of don'tforgetatowel.com, the only place to travel geekly. Focusing on creator-owned and independent titles like Hollowed, Pursuit of Plastic, and Fairy, and many more. DFAT Comics will be a mix of genres appealing to every kind of reader. Join the new source of comic book entertainment with DFAT Comics.
We are back, casuals, and as per always, this is Rocco.
And this is Chris.
And we are back today because we wanted to talk about The Punisher with the recent news of John Bernthal. I feel like I'm saying his name wrong. John Bernthal.
Probably.
His return, all are. his actual return to the MCU as The Punisher in Daredevil Born Again inspired Chris for us to have this episode. So, yeah, let's talk about him.
There's an actual secret behind that too, because I've wanted to do this episode for a long time.
Yeah, you have.
And it's funny because the Punisher is one of my top five characters of all time, okay. Which is one of those things that when you say it, people can look at you like, oh, okay.
You like cops? But
Yeah. You like killing people? Like, yeah, you're okay with this crazy vigilante guy? And but that's the other thing, is the cop, and we'll talk about that political bullshit in a little bit, because that's the worst of it. The thing about the Punisher is that I don't know how I was introduced to him, honestly. The Spider-Man animated series was definitely when I was a little bit older, but I had a Punisher action figure that I clearly remember losing the guns in the mud, and I was very upset because none of my other action figures came with guns like this. I mean, he was fully equipped, and we're talking like now in the day where McFarlane can't even put guns with his figures and other things like that, and censorship. This, and I bought it again recently in box. And so I have it, but it was the old Toy Biz 4-inch figure where like you put caps in his back and he makes noise.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a very cool toy. And I don't know how I found out about the Punisher, but all of a sudden he was, as I always say, in my zeitgeist. And you know, I always kind of joke about this thing where we were introduced to these properties, these rated R properties, through action figures when we were kids, RoboCop and Terminator. And
it's absolutely true.
Right. Aliens, Predator, and more. So that's somehow I found about the Punisher. And it wasn't from an animated series, I'll tell you that.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because that's exactly how I was introduced to the Punisher, because Spider-Man, the animated series that I still watch with my kids, and we just finished Secret War, the Secret War saga of that, which is still one of my favorite parts of that whole series. Anyway, that's how I was introduced to the Punisher. He was hunting down Spider-Man, who was slowly mutating into an actual spider.
Into the Man Spider, I think.
Yeah,
crazy, weird, unoriginal names they came up with. So let's talk about that, actually, because I'm going to show you this. I just bought this the other day. This is the facsimile of the Amazing Spider-Man number 129, the first appearance of the Punisher. Now,
wow,
good version of this, like the real version of this, graded. You know, they're like thousands of dollars.
Oh yeah.
I want to get it at some point. It's like one of my grails, but I settled for this because I really wanted this cover. I wanted to put it with my like, I like to try to display figures with comics now. So I'm going to do that. My cool Mesco. But this was the introduction of the character. He was an assassin. He was sent after Spider-Man. So it's interesting that he just, you know, he shows up as an adversary to begin with, which is very kind of what they also did with Moon Knight in a way.
Yeah.
Throwing it back to that show that we talked about. But so he was created by Gary Conway and John Romita Sr. And also Ross Andrew. And so this is back in the 1974.
Oh, wow.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
And I think we always talk about how comics are... were definitely different back then,
for sure.
So how do you eventually get away with this when the comic book code comes in and more? Because when you think about the Punisher, he is not a character aimed at kids.
No,
it's funny because it, like, he was on Spider-Man the animated series. He was actually put into that superhero squad show in an episode, and you know, of course they play down who he is, but he's the Punisher. If any kid looks him up, you get a full, you know, detailed look at this sociopath.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest hallmarks of the Punisher is how his military time really, really split his psyche. It's wild, and he not only hurts folks in some of the most creative ways, but it's almost as if, it's not even like he enjoys it. It's like he has to. It's almost a compulsion. And that's like, he's actually, you can tell he's not enjoying himself, but he is so very, very good at it. And it's as if he just has to do this.
Yeah, I think that's a really important fact right there, because a lot of the time they use heroes as kind of like a comparison to him. And so most stories are told in that aspect of, hey, Frank, why are you like this? You know, why are heroes, why are you considered a hero? Mm-hmm. But you still do these crazy violent things. You have this basically the opposite code of Batman. And you're a serial killer. I mean, when you watch Punisher War Journal, the movie, it's funny because they, in that basement scene, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, where's the Punisher files? Oh, he looks at a file cabinet. He's like, oh, are those the Punisher files? And then he turns the light on and the whole room lights up. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, these are the Punisher files. And he's killed thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
So I get why that narrative doesn't work in a way. But I guess my biggest thing is like, how can you get rid of a character like Frank Castle, who has been put on a pedestal for the maybe the wrong reasons, but mm-hmm. at the same time, you have to look at the writing. I mean, the idea of the character is it's a sad story. It's like, what would you do if this happened to your family? Like, I'm sorry that, oh yeah, with great power comes great responsibility, or I got to carry the shield because I got American values or whatever it is. This was introduced as a totally different level of super quote unquote hero.
Yeah. And I think though that what I love about it is he's not a good person. He just, when he's called to do something, I mean, he will do the right thing. He still has his ethics. They're very, very, very scant, but like, he won't murder children and he won't really murder women. He doesn't do women, he doesn't do children, but man, oh man, just about anyone else. And I think that creates a great dichotomy when you put him on the opposite side of Daredevil. I think that there is such a beautiful one of my favorite episodes, actually I take that back, it's not one of my favorite episodes, my favorite episode of Daredevil was season 2. I'm mad that I can't remember the name of it, but Frank has Daredevil chained to a roof, and he's up on the roof with him, and they have a debate on how to handle crime and criminals, and their debate is incredible. Not to mention the fight scene to end it out, but it was wild, and it made me love John's Punisher. It made me, that episode made me love him and say, this is my Punisher.
Yeah, when he was cast, I remember I was watching Walking Dead. I'm not a huge Walking Dead fan,
me neither,
but I did like his character Shane in the show, and I was kind of excited because I could see him bringing a really good portrayal, mm-hmm. you know, to the show, and he did. And I think that, you know, that second season Daredevil is one of my favorite seasons of TV, period. I could watch that endlessly and just mm-hmm. and just be very happy to see something so well adapted in its own right.
Yeah,
but you know, still being very comic loyal and really getting the characters. So you know, it was interesting for the Punisher to have his start on that show and then go into his own show.
And what I love is you go back to that show, but it's such a great depiction of the Punisher, is you have the end where Daredevil is fighting through those ninjas and he obviously needs help, and he takes the help, not in a way that maybe he would want, but in, you know, in Frank sniping the ninjas from another roof. And then what does he do when he's done? He just puts the rifle down. He goes, see you around, Red.
Yeah.
And he leaves. And to me, like, yeah, that's how he would do it.
No, I absolutely agree. And it's just, it was great to get those characters in that format, mm-hmm. At that mature level. And you mentioned like the way he kills and why, and it's just, it's duty almost. He's a soldier, And the depiction of him being a soldier has changed over the years as well, from him being a Vietnam vet to the Desert Storm and kind of modernizing it, which I, you know, that I liked the TV show. It wasn't as good as Daredevil season two, but the show is good. I mean, it was a decent portrayal and a good two seasons. I like what they did with Microchip. You know, it was just kind of, I guess I really wanted to get the Jigsaw, and I just kind of, I just get kind of frustrated because like I watched these commercials with that guy and he's doing those funny commercials and I'm just like, never got to see a Jigsaw. So, I don't know the actor's name, but
yeah, no, but I agree. I unfortunately the show, I watched the first season, I couldn't do the second season, and it's not, I just didn't like the show. I loved him, I loved him, and I loved his Punisher. I just didn't like the show. I felt
snoozy, right?
Yeah, I felt like there was another direction they could have taken that in,
like six episodes. Didn't.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know, I was kind of I don't know, it doesn't matter, but him in season two of Daredevil, just chef's kiss,
creme de la creme. So let's talk about the movies a little bit. Because it's funny, do you remember the Dolph Lundgren movie?
I don't remember it at all. I mean, I know of it from years ago when I saw parts of it online, but I don't remember, like, I have no memory of it coming out or anything.
Yeah, I know that at times it can be pretty, like, violent, but then other times I remember, like, him, like, driving a bus with these kids on it. Now, I know he's, like, saving these kids from violence and whatnot, but it was just kind of, I thought it was interesting that he got a movie in 1989, because there's another superhero who got a big movie in 1989, and it was a much better movie. And that's probably why they dropped it the same year. It's also funny that Marvel and DC have kind of swapped in terms of how they release movies.
Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, I feel like with Michael Keaton's Batman and the Christopher Reeve Superman films, I mean, like, DC held the cornerstone and Marvel really wasn't anywhere to be found, really. And then, you know, we started getting X-Men and Spider-Man and Blade and all those. So, yeah, that is funny. I didn't think about that kind of that flip flop. But yeah, no, Dolph Lundgren as the Punisher, I've never seen it outside of minuscule clips on the internet.
You should do it.
I should.
You should. And then there was the Thomas Jane Punisher movie. So this movie has some highlights for me. I actually watched it recently. And just to kind of step back from the overall kind of making it to Hollywood versus, I don't know. There are some things in there that I like and a lot of things I don't like. I do not like the rewriting of the origin at all.
Oh, you do not like that with the family reunion on like an island and they just came.
Yeah, on. They're all on Amity Island and his dad is Chief Brody from Jaws, and you know, a big shark comes and eats everybody, and then he gets really pissed at the sharks and he has to shoot sharks for the rest of the movie.
Exactly. It was an odd twist. It was an odd turn.
It was fucked up.
No, no, I the thing is with Tom, first of all, Thomas Jane.
Yes.
Okay. Looking at him, it was more like "Punish me, Daddy." You know what I mean? Like, and I didn't get the real. He wasn't really gritty. He was more of like this squeaky clean killing machine. And I mean, they
suave soldier.
Yeah, they really nailed. They did really nail him being a killing machine. I mean, he kills everyone in that movie, and it's satisfying too. It's very, very satisfying. And Rebecca Romijn, she was in it. And that scene where her abusive like dude comes and then he takes his knife from him and just flips it all around and then just boop on the nose with it.
Yeah.
You know? That kind of thing. I enjoyed that. But John Travolta.
Character made up for the movie.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know who he is.
It was just a dumb big villain, but you had two Punisher villains in the movie. You had Harry Heck and the Russian.
The Russian, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was cool. I did like the... There were some good homages to the Punisher in that movie, but they were definitely going for this more general audience movie. Now, was that rated R?
Yes.
I don't remember. It was an R movie, right?
Yes, okay. Because I had just turned 18 and like I just like went with all my friends and just thought we were so cool for like finally going to just like an R movie at the theater.
Oh, man.
Oh, we thought we were so cool.
So badass. Just breaking the law.
Yes,
so.
But that was the movie I chose.
Oh, good, because the Punisher's going to come after you for breaking the law.
Exactly.
So that movie, yeah, for me, it did redesign the logo. That logo has carried me on for a long time, and I like it. I do like the old blocky one, but the newer one is really neat as well. Yeah. Then we got Punisher Warzone, which for me is a gem. For me, I enjoy super ultra violent movies. It was very much like a low budget action movie, which I appreciated of it, but it did for me it did the Punisher justice as far as the character. I liked Ray Stevenson in the movie. It's funny because he also plays that he's also in the Thor movies. I forgot what that character's name is, but it's always funny to see Ray Stevenson in different roles. But I liked his Punisher. Lexi Alexander, her movie, like it was she's a really interesting director as well, just like very into violent films and stuff like that. So I like that they took this new approach after the Thomas Jane movie.
No, I've seen it. It's definitely a Punisher movie, but I think I'm just on the opposite side. As much as I love Ray Stevenson, or is it Stevens?
Yeah, Stevenson.
Mm-hmm. Stevenson. I think he's an amazing actor. I just didn't see him as the Punisher. I just didn't see it. When I see him, all I see is his character from Dexter. In the later seasons of Dexter, he was quite a formidable villain, if you will. Well, everyone's a villain in Dexter. Quite a formidable opponent to Dexter, and that's how I remember him. So I don't know, I just didn't see the Punisher.
So he's formidable in a different sense than the Punisher.
Yes.
I see. Okay.
But that movie as a whole, like, I like the movie. I like the character design for Jigsaw.
Right, the whole thing with him is really neat. The way like he went in, he fell into the glass crushing machine and he came out of it, and I thought they did a good job with it. My favorite thing was like when he's with that crazy cousin or whatever it is, his brother, but like they're walking and they do this weird montage of like craziness, and it just kind of brought that level of crazy supervillain to the screen versus like the ones we were used to.
Yeah, no, I agree. Overall, it was a great movie.
I loved Wayne Knight's microchip.
Oh my god! I almost forgot about that.
Right.
Goodness gracious! And I love Wayne Knight.
Yeah, I think it's funny because that was one of the I've been picking up keys of graded comics, and I found Microchip's first appearance really cheap, and I was just like, I can get this one because I need some Punisher stuff. But I always look back to them. Like I love Wayne Knight to begin with as Newman and Moore. He's such a great actor. And it was just really interesting to see him in a comic book movie.
So. I agree. I don't think I expected that. Like, bam, there he is.
Yeah. Another thing I really liked about that was the cop who was working with him. Martin Soap, I believe his name was. I forgot what the actor's name is, but he's the one that, like I mentioned earlier on the show, where they're in the basement and like he's like, these are the Punisher files.
Yes.
That was a really cool thing because like he has a cop working with him, and there was like some layers to that movie that I just kind of laughed at and had a good time. And it was ultra violent. So
it really was.
There's a couple other things. I know you don't like anime, and I won't rag on you about it too much, but did you ever watch those Marvel anime movies that came out? Okay. Me neither.
Okay. I won't rag on you about that.
Iron Man, Rise of the Technivore, and then also Avengers Confidential, Black Widow and the Punisher were other appearances of the Punisher. He doesn't have that many because I guess of his infamy, right?
Yeah.
In the Iron Man, he's voiced by Norman Reedus. The other one, he's voiced by Brian Bloom. So I might check that out just to see if they do some crazy anime stuff with the Punisher. So,
all right.
It's good times. And then I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, let me know.
I will. So let's talk about the current run of Daredevil and the Punisher a little bit.
Yes.
Because there has been a transformation of the character throughout the years. Some of the other comics that I do want to mention that people can check out, 1988 Punisher War Journal, 1992 Punisher War Zone, and then in 2010 Punisher Max, which was a hailed, like, very recognized, loved series by Garth Ennis, and some of the aspects for the TV show I think were taken from that. So there have been quite a different interpretations and resurrections and more of Frank Castle throughout the years, including one of the craziest ones was like Frankencastle, where he was killed off, but then he was brought back as a Frankenstein type character. Very weird. And then he came back as Frank Castle again. Cosmic Ghost Rider is Frank Castle. So he becomes, I think he is a Herald of Galactus in the far future. But he has the Ghost Rider entity as part of him. So I need to still read those because I guess he has like interactions with himself in the past and things like that. So it was a fan favorite because the character actually started off in a Thanos comic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So very, very cool future for Frank Castle.
Yeah. I always found that crazy. I always found that crazy when I found out Frank Castle was Cosmic Ghost Rider. It's, to me, so random, but like, okay, yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Spirit of Vengeance.
Yeah.
It just makes so much sense. And it was just, it's such a neat thing to spin out and become so popular. Mm-hmm. And it just shows, actually, I should say, it just shows the popular Frank Castle, that people love that character.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why he's still coming back to the MCU, even though... And let's just get into it. Like, his symbol has been bastardized completely in the mainstream by extremists and assholes. And I find it disgusting because if you can't interpret what the actual original story about this was and you just want to rewrite it, that's just your narrative anyway. That's what all these assholes do. They just want to rewrite history.
Well, I think that it's... All I'm going to say is this, and I'm going to leave it at that, is that... To me, it's terrifying when the amount of police officers emulate this using his symbol and or have it tattooed to their body, because I think the main theme of this podcast is the character of Frank Castle, although a fictional character, is a character that is an indiscriminate murderer, period, a sociopathic murderer. We enjoy following his stories because they are entertaining, but they are fictional. Frank Castle is a fictional character. I love my violence fictional. I always have. And to see folks that are not fictional, that carry weapons and that emulate a character like this, to me, is the scary thing. And I know that Marvel had to answer with the newest run.
Well, they actually answered first by getting rid of it completely.
Yes.
And then there was a hiatus, which was very upsetting for fans. I can speak personally to that. But I mean, that is the point. And that's the best mature way to put it. And thank you for bringing me out of the darkness. But
no,
I'm just joking. I'll swear those people all day. So it's crazy that, unfortunately, people don't understand the real idea behind it. And the fact that we don't understand mental health in this country is another factor in Frank Castle's overall story. I mean, this guy is disturbed. He has been through the most traumatic experience of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how he reacts. So, I mean, if this is not a story for, like, let's look at this from the mental health aspect of it, which most of the comics that are written with him versus other characters are, as I mentioned, as a parallel or a dichotomy. This is how we address it, because if people that need to read this read it and get something out of it, then good.
Exactly. And it's like, I love the Punisher and I love the character of the Punisher because I love to read about how interesting of a character he is, but he is not a hero of mine.
No, I won't say he's a hero of mine either. Yeah,
exactly. And that's what you need to understand. I'm reading about this character because he's tragic. And what's great about his bloody tragedy is that it's all fictional.
Right.
Do you understand? So that's, and listeners, that's my point, is that this is a fictional character. So I can have all of that in this fictional world. But when you are someone who doesn't live in that part of fictional world and you emulate or see this character as a hero and you are in a position of power, it is scary. And just because it's scary, Marvel had to react and they had to put it on hiatus. In the current run, he is not wearing the Punisher logo. In fact, one of the villains, Ares, takes up the Punisher logo and almost as an affront, almost as because he more emulates what that logo has become.
Is Ares in the comics right now?
Correct. The God of War.
Really? Yeah, he had disappeared a while ago. That's great. What a great character he is. He's insane.
He finds out that Frank is the new head of the Hand.
Okay.
And decides to challenge him by bringing war directly to the Fortress of the Hand.
So let's go back a little bit. Because that's awesome. I need to get on that immediately. Because I remember asking, like, I was like, is it true that the Punisher rode a dragon to battle against Daredevil? And you were basically like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I need to read my comics and catch up. So let's talk about this transition of Frank Castle a little bit, because let's go back. Because out of nowhere, it was announced that Frank Castle would be coming back. Mm-hmm. And this was something that nobody thought would happen. Extremely violent character, taken out of the zeitgeist because of what we just talked about, and politically and socially. Mm-hmm. And what a better way to do it, honestly, because you have this organization that you can tie in with a great number of characters across the Marvel Universe. And so the Punisher and the Hand offers the Punisher basically a role within the organization as like a, what is it, like a demigod, in a way.
Yeah. Pretty much leading their armies. That would be his role.
Exactly. And it's crazy because you have to get rid of this skull emblem. And so you recreate it with this very different look. It is a skull, but I forget what it represents. I had it earlier on my notes and I lost it. But I think that this was a really interesting way to just reintroduce the character into the Marvel Universe and give him a new path, including apparently like superpowers, which sometimes I can be like, I don't know, but
he is getting, so he's getting the ancient powers that the Hand bestow upon their like head killer, which is what he is. And he, through the comic run, he is starting to see that, oh my God, what am I doing? Like with the Hand, but also realizing that what they're trying to offer him, and I'm not sure if you know what they're offering him, the Hand.
It's his wife.
His wife, and they continue to try and resurrect his children and continue to fail.
Okay. And I mean, I'm only 3 issues in. It's fine because I know what happens.
Okay.
To a certain extent. You can spoil it for me.
Okay. So, I still enjoy reading it. That's, and it's disturbing when they're trying to resurrect his sons, or his kids, that was hard panels to look at and to read. And he's going through that, and they're pushing him to fight and pushing him to battle and this and that. And then on the other side, you have the current Daredevil run,
right?
And Matt Murdock is dead. So Matt Murdock is pronounced dead. And so that means, so he decides that he's going to say goodbye to his friends. He goes and visits Luke Cage and is just like, I'm going to be gone. And I just don't know how long. I might never come back. And then he goes and sees Spider-Man and he's just like, hey man, like it's been a good time. Like we rolled together, it was sweet, but like I'm out. And so he and Elektra go to,
was this
like,
before he had the beard?
This is like as he's growing it. It was very okay. Like, you know, not nah, it was coming in, which I liked because where he's at now, you could tell like he started it there. That's, you know,
yeah, yeah. And, it just and, grew. I was like, holy crap, it's on. Thing's awesome.
Exactly. And then he goes to like Nepal or whatever and ends up finding this rival faction to the hand called the Fist. And he and Elektra, he would have to pick a bride and go through like a test with his bride, and then at the end of the test, which could actually kill them, if it doesn't, they'd be married and they would be king and queen of the Fist. And so obviously he takes Elektra and is just, he's like, I'm pretty much asking you to marry me. And she's like, you know, beloved, if we fucking make it through this, then yeah, I guess that's what it is. And now they are married and they are king and queen of the hand. And the Fist, and they found out that the hand had implanted. One thing I thought was cool was they had gotten a tip that the hand had implanted a hand member as the president of the United States. Whoa. And so Matt or Daredevil sends his queen to go handle that. And when she goes to handle that,
don't you mean Fist it? Are they the Fist?
Right. The Fist. Well done. It turns out the president was being guarded by Iron Man. So you get to see Elektra and Iron Man fight. And yeah, Elektra puts Iron Man in the ICU. So that was wild. Probably some of the best reading I've read. And I'm so happy I'm getting her figure as Lady Daredevil. But anyway, so they.
Was that the look that she has the whole time? Is that?
Yeah. Yes, she has the horns now, and she has, you know, her size and the like the full more full body than like the my tits are showing kind of stuff, you know.
Right, exactly.
Which I like, but I like that, you know. I like that they're not relying on her boobs; they're relying on her like character.
Yeah, this is not the 90s.
Exactly. So
I enjoyed the 90s. Don't get me wrong, but
well, we all did. I mean, right. Who, you know,
we were teenagers.
Exactly. We were very impressionable teenagers. But the reason is that with the Punisher being the, you know, the part of the hand and or leading their armies, and then now the Fist, they're coming in to pretty much have a collision course with one another, and they do. And Daredevil and Frank fight, and there is this amazing fight between Frank and Daredevil. And he's like, Daredevil's like, even with your newfound powers, I will, as he's beating him up, I will always beat you. Like, and just puts Frank down. And like, you know, he's like, you don't really believe in anything, like blah blah. But again, you know, Frank has his own reasons for what he's doing, so you know you kind of understand both sides of it. And then yes, there's a dragon, but this has gotten to now such a bad level since their battle that it looks like this is going to become an Avengers level situation. There's a little preview at the end always shows like the Avengers like getting together, like what is going on over there, and like,
yeah, right.
Like they're gonna come in, and there's
has our attention now.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when that happens, you're like, okay, shit's gonna hit the fan.
It's true. At least it just takes a few of them. Oh, we should mention that we both played Midnight Suns, because we should do a show about that game alone.
We really should.
Okay.
We
should. Let's leave it at that then.
All right.
So let me ask you a question about Daredevil Born Again.
Yes.
How do you think they're going to treat Frank Castle? Do you think we'll see this hand arc in a way?
Well, so you can, because they did introduce the hand already, and the hand is not some, it's not a character that went away, or a villain that went away or died. It still existed even at the end of Daredevil season 2, and even at the end of the Defenders, it was still there. That's to even say if they're going to go along with what happened in Netflix or just ignore it. But there is precedent, I guess, is my point. So bringing Frank in to do that is possible. But then it also goes to how grounded does Disney want to make their street level characters?
I guess my question to that is, if they retired the symbol, what will they do? Right? Because you can't use it. You can't use it on Disney, period. I would imagine. I mean, it just wouldn't, unless they just like, we're taking it back.
I mean, they might take it back, or maybe they'll have it in the beginning and then he'll change it. You know, or maybe they'll address it, or maybe they'll have a little blurb at the beginning of it. Like with some Disney movies, even on Disney Plus, in the beginning, they're like, this was made in 1923 when everyone was a racist. So like Disney doesn't stand behind this, but like every animator we had was a racist, and it shows in this. Enjoy. And you know what? Personally, I like that. I think that's I think that's great, because
it's like, thanks, Dilbert.
Right. But those films are part of history. So
absolutely. But at least they don't like censor it.
And they acknowledge, but the acknowledgement, I think, is like, yeah, okay, so this is racist. We know it is.
Like, well, yeah, pointing out that, oh, and the kids would be like, oh, what is racist in this? Let me see. Begs the question, right?
That's true. That is true. But yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, Chris. I don't know.
I don't think, we'll go back to the 89 movie. I don't think Dolph Lundgren wore that skull. Is there a reason to even wear the skull? You know, do you get rid of it completely? And Frank Castle is just this character known as the Punisher? I don't know.
What if they're building this all up and he's just a cameo?
Well, that too. I mean, but how do you cameo him? Just in street gear, right?
I guess.
Put him in a Thunderbolts costume and he's in Thunderbolts all of a sudden?
That would make sense, though. But
he's in Thunderbolts.
It would be crazy. Nuts. But they were clear that this will definitely be a courtroom drama. So what I'm picturing is that we're going to get what we thought we were going to get with She-Hulk, and we're going to get that with Daredevil.
It's going to be a courtroom drama.
They hired actual lawyers to help with the writing of those scenes.
I thought they did that with She-Hulk and it didn't pay out.
No, they actually admitted for She-Hulk that they never hired a single lawyer.
Okay, so they're doing the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't know. Are they going to give us Goofy? Is it going to be grounded? And Netflix really raised the bar. There's so much to think about.
That's it, right? That's it. I mean, can you really ever go back to what they did on Netflix if you have a child empire to run, basically? So I don't know. We will see. When is this show drop? Next year?
2024.
All right. Well, we'll have to talk about it after.
We will.
Absolutely. It'd be like Daredevil episode part 2.
I'm in for it. I'm all in for it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Ben, that was great. We're back. And you know, we got some really great characters to talk about this season. I'm excited because, you know, we were just talking about pre-show with we did the Illusion Witch episode with Ruben Romero, our friend, mm-hmm. and we'll be doing Hallowed with Casey Bowker, our friend. But they are just banging out comics.
Yeah, every single day, it's like I see a new comic that they're. It's like, guys, I love it though. I'm living vicariously through them. It's a wonderful thing.
Keep it up. We'll talk Hallowed this season. And then we have a slew of other fun stuff planned. So we hope you enjoyed the new format. I know we did. So you got anything to plug, my friend?
Yeah, we're currently recording Critical Mass. We added a third host.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy. It's our longtime friend and artist, Adam. He's the one who's done all our logos, and he produced the new title track to like bring our show in, our opening number, if you will.
All right.
And we invited him to be on the show permanently, and it's been great. So we've got two episodes recorded. Awesome. We're going to record one more, and then you'll be hearing us on the airwaves.
Very cool. Very cool. And then you can also check out Talloy Talk, 238 episodes, I think, now.
Damn.
Just keep dropping them. It's just throughout time. We're timeless.
Yeah.
So check out, you know, don't forget Talloy Defend Entertainment. We are Listen Up Casuals, and we love talking about comics, and we're glad to be back and that you're listening.
And always remember to support your local comic shop. Bye, everyone.